hey, what's going on? Happy Friday. Nick Kirby here. Welcome to Chatterbox Reds, proudly sponsored by DSC Commodities. Coming up in just a minute, myself and Trace Fowler from Chatterbox Reds live on YouTube, very late into Friday morning. But first, let's recap the Reds game for you, in case you missed it. Reds starting a four-game series on the road against the 29-16 LA Dodgers, team that has the best run differential in baseball. They have the most wins in all the baseball since 2019. Oh, and it was Shohei Ohtani bobblehead night. So there was a sellout crowd of 53,527, the largest crowd for any Major League Baseball game this season, the biggest regular season attendance at Dodger Stadium since September of 2019. Reds going up against Tyler Glasnow, pitcher, with a sub-3 ERA over the last four seasons. He had allowed a total of one run in the first inning in his nine starts this season. And leadoff batter Will Benson for the Reds greeted Glasnow by smoking a home run to right center field, making it 1-0 Reds. And then Elly De La Cruz singled, stole second base, and with two outs, Tyler Stevenson smoked a double, 2-0 Reds. So the Reds, they doubled Tyler Glasnow's first inning runs allowed for the season. Reds weren't done, though. Top of the third, Elly De La Cruz led off with a ground rule double. Elly stole second base. And then Tyler Stevenson, again with two outs, came through. An RBI single made it 3-0. In the top of the fifth, Elly De La Cruz, he was in the middle of literally everything. He walked, stole second, he stole third. Four stolen bases on the day, now 30 on the season. And then with two outs, Spencer Steer struck out, but a wild pitch got to the backstop. Steer reached base, Elly De La Cruz scored, 4-0 Reds. And then in the top of the eighth, the Reds would add three more insurance runs, headlined by doubles from Jamer Candelario and Stuart Fairchild, 7-0 Cincinnati. And just how absurd is this? The Dodgers, they hadn't allowed five runs in a game in 23 consecutive games, and they gave up seven runs to the Cincinnati Reds on Thursday night. And on the pitching side of the ball, didn't even get to them yet. The Reds did a bullpen game. They had Brent Suter start the game. He got two outs. And then the Reds went to Emilio Pagan, who got three outs. Justin Wilson came in and got one out. And then I guess at that point, David Bell felt that was enough to turn the ball over to Nick Martinez. And boy, was Nick Martinez absolutely brilliant. Martinez went five innings, gave up just one hit, no runs, no walks, and struck out four batters. Martinez threw 68 pitches, and this coming on 3 days rest. Just an unbelievable effort from Nick Martinez. So the Reds got to the eighth inning. At this point, it was still just a 4-0 game. Lucas Sims threw a perfect eighth inning. He struck out two batters, looked the best he's looked in quite a while. So in the ninth, Reds were leading 7-0 at that point. Sam Moll, returning back from AAA, he got one out, but he did leave two runners on base. David Bell decided not to go to Alexis Diaz. He went to Buck Farmer. The Dodgers were able to get two runs off Buck Farmer, but he was able to get the job done. Reds win 7-2. Reds, they've now won 2 of 3 for the first time since the end of April. Reds now 19-25 on the season, and the Reds have a +2 run differential. Right after the game, here's what the hero, Elly De La Cruz, had to say.
Elly, you reached base all five plate appearances tonight. Four hits, scored three runs, drove in a run, stole four bases. I know it's only your second trip here to Dodger Stadium, but what is it about this place that ignites you? What is it about this place that you play really well and up your game?
Oh, that's because this is my city. You already know. This is my city, though.
Why do you feel that this is your city?
I mean, my first time in U.S. was here in L.A. And also, I play a lot of GTA when I was a little kid, and I like the city. And that's what I say. That's my city. When I was a little kid, I used to say I was born in L.A. Yeah, this is my city, though.
Well, we'll take it. Whatever, to get the results. Four stolen bases tonight. You have 30 on the season. That's more than 19 teams you know, perhaps I should do what you did to Ohtani last year and poke you and see if you're real. It's, you seem to be real, but what was your goal in spring training? Did you say 80 steals in my recollection?
Yeah, 80 plus. But I just go out there and have fun. I just enjoy every game, play hard every day.
We have talked so many times about the adjustments you made in the offseason. Now that we're more than a month and a half into the season, are you feeling like it's natural now? Your swing is natural, your new swing?
No, it's the same. It's the same one. I just, like, I've been more patient in the play, like taking bad pitches, looking for a good pitch to hit, and it's going pretty well.
Dodgers are a fantastic team, obviously. Has to feel really good to get the first game of the series here.
Yeah, it's feel really good. But like I said before, doesn't matter what team, we're going to play hard every day. Doesn't matter Dodgers, Anaheim, doesn't matter what team.
One last question. The pitching tonight, it took a lot of guys to get through there to pick Lodolo up tonight. How impressed were you with your pitching staff tonight?
That was really cool. They coming out the bullpen and they handle everything so well. Like I'm pretty impressed for this job.
Congratulations on the big night in your city.
Thank you. My city though, you already know.
And here's Reds catcher Tyler Stevenson.
Against this team, how impressed were you with what your staff did tonight?
Yeah, they obviously stepped up in a huge way. And, for like a little bit of everybody, especially what Nick did, come in and throw 3-4 innings, whatever it was. It's always tough. They did a great job, and, we really needed that, and they did a really good job tonight.
How big was it to get out to the lead, obviously? You were part of that.
Yeah, of course. Starting off well with the home run. The double down the line, some big two-out hits. They're huge. And over season, those are obviously really important. So anytime that we can obviously get the lead, and it felt good, especially with how things are going, to get an early lead and then let the guys just do their thing on the mound.
What was it like to just play the game the way you played it tonight? Your team, you're probably one of your better wins all season, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it was great. Like to say everything went scripted, but it's not always that way, especially from the catching side. But it was a huge win tonight. Good to see some hits go and get a huge lead. So hopefully just keep it going.
What's it like watching Ellie when he has a night like he does tonight?
What do you have, four or five?
Four steals.
Four hits. I think I saw something there. He's already got 30. I'm like, golly. It's special on a nightly basis. If he doesn't hit one on 150 off the bat in 8,000 feet, he'll steal four bags and throw 107 across the infield. So, it's like a creative player every night, and we get front row seats.
And here's Nick Martinez.
You're going to be kind of this secret weapon they were keeping in their back pocket.
I don't know if I was secret, but I was definitely pitching today, yeah.
What do you say about your staff? Practically had a shutout against one of the, you know, elite ball clubs.
Yeah, just guys coming in, great, I mean, good job executing the game plan, and good job on Steve-O, you know, steering us through that.
Much just watching De La Cruz do his thing today, especially.
Special, man. I mean, every time he takes a field, an at bat, on the base path, I feel like we're witnessing something special here.
Seems like you didn't have any problem with that big lineup.
I felt good today. I felt like all my pitches were working. I did a good job of keeping them, you know, off balance and throwing a lot of strikes. Again, a team like that, a lineup like that, really forces you to have a high level of focus, and there's not a lot of room for error, so it kind of activates a different gear.
You know, now that you've seen a little bit, everybody's Ohtani, best player in the game, right?
Yeah.
But Ellie's 22 years old, yeah. And he's doing some of this stuff now.
Yeah.
2, 3, 4 years from now.
Yeah.
I mean, is he conceivably in a conversation like that?
Yeah, I think that's a fair point. He's 22 and switch hitter. He's got power from both sides. He's dynamic in every way possible, man. I mean, his strength plays in every aspect of the game, and
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt if he's not already, you know, one of the faces of baseball, he definitely will be.
Does he remind you of Todd?
Yeah, he does. Very, very similar, you know, very athletic. They do, like, freak of nature things on the field. Yeah, I mean, he's just a switch hitting Toddy. Yeah, I mean, I'd say he's probably faster than Toddy. Yeah, maybe better arm too. The power's there, and athleticism is pretty much even.
And lastly, here's Reds manager David Bell.
What you got from your pitching staff tonight?
Yeah, I mean, we had come off. It's been a stretch of games that you know, we've leaned on our bullpen a lot, so just kind of put something together we thought we needed to do tonight to get through a tough lineup, and our pitchers stepped up and did a great job right from the very beginning. And of course Nick Martinez, I mean, he hasn't been pitching out of the bullpen, hasn't started a game in a while, but was able to give us five innings and really strong innings, great command of all his pitches, against a really good lineup, really good hitters, and had his best stuff, and pretty exciting to see what he can do against that lineup.
Is this another night where you just sit back and enjoy Ellie De La Cruz?
Yeah, I mean, that was so much fun to watch. I mean, it starts with his at-bats. You know, he's controlling the strike zone, really gaining in confidence, comfort, and having great swings, but he's putting himself in a great position to have those swings because of the counts he's getting into. And then on the bases, you know he's going to go, and he still has the ability to steal base at any time, and they're big stolen bases too for us, you know, in those situations, get in scoring position, and they led to runs. So great game. I thought offensively it started with Will Benson's home run, just to get on the board. We knew it was going to be a challenging game, and it's a great way to start it off.
You're well aware of all the fanfare surrounding this Dodger team, and for your team to come in here on the road, first game of the series, and just play a great game, and just, you know, how uplifting was tonight for you?
Yeah, of course. I mean, they all are, and we have a lot of respect for this team on the other side. Obviously, everybody does, but there's no buts there. I mean, they are a great team. We do, believe in ourselves too. We believe we're good, and but it's nice to get a win. We got a long way to go, and it's been a tough stretch for us. So they're all very important.
All right, our deep drive of the day goes to, of course, Will Benson with his leadoff home run off Tyler Glasnow to right center field. Benson's home run had an exit velocity of 107.2 and went 439 feet. Our deep drive of the day, sponsored as always by Deep South Commodities. DSC is a leader in renewable commodities for biofuel production, specializing in used cooking oil collection, aggregation, and sales. Visit www.deepsouthcommodities.com for more information. Thanks as always to our friends at DSC. All right, checking out scores around the NL Central. Just one game, the Brewers and Cardinals were both off, but the Pirates beat the Cubs 5-4. So your NL Central standings on Friday morning: Brewers lead the way at 26-17, Cubs at 25-20, Pirates 20-25, Reds 19-25, and the Cardinals are 18-25. And how about this? The Padres, Diamondbacks, and Nationals were all off on Thursday. So that means the Reds picked up a half game, and the Reds, despite all their struggles of late, are only two games out of a playoff spot. All right, let's read off some of the insane stats about Ellie De La Cruz. Ellie De La Cruz now has more stolen bases than 18 Major League Baseball teams. Ellie De La Cruz is the first player with four hits and four stolen bases in a game since Ichiro did it in September of 2012, first Reds player to do it since at least 1901. At 22 years old and 126 days, Ellie De La Cruz is the fourth youngest player since 1901 with four hits and four stolen bases in a game, older than only Ty Cobb, Tim Raines, and some guy in 1924 named Howard Frigu. I'm not going to try to figure out how to say that, but nonetheless, another insane stat from Ellie. With Ellie De La Cruz now up to 30 stolen bases, He's the first player with 30 stolen bases in his team's first 44 games since Kenny Lofton did it in 1996. Last player before that was Ricky Henderson in 1988. Last player before that was Vince Coleman in 1987. So Ellie certainly in some good company with some of the great all-time base stealers. And then if you're kind of looking ahead at the Reds' all-time stolen base in a single season list, Ellie's probably going to have a hard time beating out Hugh Nicol, who in 1887 stole 138 bags. But Ellie's on pace now for 111 stolen bases. That would pretty easily give him the record for the most since 1900. That would be by Bob Bescher, who stole just 81 bases in 1911. Seems like Ellie's probably going to easily hit that mark if he's able to, of course, stay healthy. All right, well, after the game, happy show after a Reds win, and boy, did we need it. Here's myself and Trace Fowler talking about the Reds' big win over the LA Dodgers. Stick around at the end, tell you about all the Reds' minor league action, and we'll preview Friday's matchup against the Dodgers.
All right, Nick, in what we will say a very, very thankful edition, a winning edition of Chatterbox Reds as we embark on 105 a.m. Eastern. It was much needed. It was much needed on a couple fronts. The first front, us. I think that we both really needed to pick me up, and the chat is an all-time pick me up. But Nick, obviously, how are you doing? It was a nice little ninth inning there for us.
I am doing very well. What a night of baseball. You know, baseball can certainly bring you down, but then you have a night like tonight and it brings you all the way right back.
All right, folks, let's get into it. I think this is the rest. This isn't hyperbole. If you're listening to this in the morning, the podcast in the morning, you know, I do get a little delirious at hours like this. This is very, very late. I've been up for a long, long time. I don't know how long this show will go, but I'm just going to try to make succinct, good points the entire day. And by day, I mean morning. Here's the thing. This is the best game I think the Reds played all season. I think it was from start to finish. They were consistent. They had good at-bats. I think they played great defense. Their bullpen was obviously incredible with the fact that they obviously had an opener. And then I still kind of consider Nick Martinez to kind of be a part of the bullpen. So whatever, it's like kind of a full bullpen game. And, you know, ultimately they threw the ball unbelievably well. And you find yourself in a position where you're playing a team that's very, very good, and you know it. And they dominated. I don't know how else to say it. They dominated. And you have it on the rundown there. They hit glass now, and they did. They took him. I don't want to say they could have made it worse, but it could have been worse than what it ultimately was. So I don't know your overall kind of, I guess, thoughts on the performance as a whole before we get into some of the minute details as we progress through the show.
Yeah, just against Glasnow. I mean, they had several hard hit balls. I know Glasnow only walked one batter, but it reminded me of Hunter Green early in the year back, especially when he was in Seattle. Reds fouled off pitch after pitch after a pitch. They grinded out the at-bats. This is when we saw the Reds last year when they were at their best. It was this approach at the plate. And it's a lot easier said than done. Like, you know, do that every night. Okay, it's not that easy. I fully understand that. But that's when the Reds are at their best. And they're at their best when Ellie De La Cruz, next topic up, when he's on base, he creates just absolute havoc. And, you know, up and down the lineup, Cruz had three hard hit balls. Mike Ford, he had three hard hit balls. He's hitting the ball really hard. Didn't have a lot to show for it tonight, but just about everyone outside of Jake Fraley had a hard hit ball tonight. I mean, so just a lot of really good at bats. It's baseball for you.
It is.
In LA, and your offense has struggled against, you know, some good pitchers, some mediocre pitchers. Yeah. And Tyler Glasnow is legitimately one of the best in the sport. When he's been healthy, he's been one of the top 5-10 pitchers in baseball. Yeah. And for the Reds to come out and hit him tonight, it's part of it's kind of crazy, but also part of it's encouraging.
Yeah, we had guys like Slade and Fat and all these guys. They just look like they were basically Greg Maddux and Nolan Ryan. And we walk into Dodger Stadium and take Glasnow to the woodshed. It is a dumb game. I was thinking that during the day's game. I was just thinking, this is the same team we just watched the last two or three days offensively, and this is how they look now. So yeah, let's get into the next topic. Shout out to you know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna give All-Star Manager David Bell every flower you could possibly give tonight, because I also know he gets dogged a lot. Gets dogged a lot. And you know what? I like to dog him a little bit too from time to time, because I think his interviews are just hilarious, downright the most boring interviews that you could possibly ever give. But having said that, this man dialed up a day off for Ellie. I said I thought it was a day off for him. You know, some people might have argued that since he had to come in the game late, it wasn't. Whatever it was, I know this. Maybe it was coincidence, but this dude looked like the world's best player tonight in the entire world, when it's supposedly the other team's the guy that has the best players in the world. But just saying, if you went to Dodger Stadium tonight and you're like, hey, you never watched baseball before, who's the best player in the world? I don't know. Just saying, they probably would have said Ellie De La Cruz, you know.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I mean, yeah, when you're talking to face at a team that has Mookie Betts, Shohei Ohtani, and Freddie Freeman, and Ellie De La Cruz comes out there, goes 4-for-4, steals 4 bags, just an absolutely absurd performance. Just the things that he could do on a baseball field are just, they're absurd. And it was awesome. It was just awesome to see him. And yeah, I mean, it felt like the off day probably helped him. I know Chris Welsh talked about on the broadcast. He thought it did. He thought that, you know, recharged his batteries. And yeah, I mean, this was just an unbelievable night by Ellie De La Cruz. Mike Ford, though, my man, Mike Ford, what are you doing? 1-0 count. Ellie De La Cruz has a chance to tie the franchise record with a 5th stolen base of the game. You have a pitch that nearly hits you and you swing at it. I don't know if Ellie got a good jump. I'm just going to assume he did. Swings and fouls it off. Unbelievable. Mike,
yeah.
What are you doing? That is the you have to take that pitch. You have to take that pitch, Mike. Come on.
Yeah. Yeah, that ball was really inside. Now, to be fair to Mike, I don't think that he knew that Ellie De La Cruz was probably a steal away from the franchise record. I highly doubt they were having those discussions in the dugout before they went out there. However, I will say, it is unfortunate, because he wasn't going to get it thrown out based off the position of that pitch. Like, the catcher wouldn't have had a chance to really get himself in a throwing position. And I don't know if you know much about Mike Ford, but he makes much better of a door, you know, than he does of a window, as my parents would say from time to time. You know, that's all respect in the world to Mike. But, you know, hey, it's just, you know, no one's calling him skinny is what I'm getting at, you know. Anyway, Ellie De La Cruz, best player in the world tonight. And you know what? He just reminds you how special he's going to end up being and or could be. But boy, it's starting to look like he's already special. You know, we talk about the future of Ellie a lot, and you start to think about what it is that he's doing right in front of our face this season. And I really can't put into words how unbelievably talented and good he's looked this year. He really has been. I mean, outside of what, maybe the first week and a half when he was struggling and it was cold outside and he made a couple errors in Philadelphia. Ever since then, it's been, I mean, it's genuinely been like MVP caliber stuff. And I know that people are going to take that and like run with it and be like, you're saying Nelly's the MVP? I'm not saying that, but I am saying that he's damn close to it. Yeah, I am. You put Ellie on like a big franchise, like put Ellie on the Dodgers and let Ellie do what he's been doing this season, I feel like he'd probably be right up there with MVP conversations. I'm just saying.
Let's not give the Dodgers any ideas. Craig just sent me this stat. Unbelievable. So Ellie's played 7 games against the Dodgers. 14 hits, 2 home runs, 3 doubles, 2 triples, and then 5 stolen bases. Obviously, 4 of them were tonight. But Ellie seems like the kind of guy that you know, rises to the occasion in these games. And I know that stuff can be really, really overboard and hyperbole and all that kind of stuff. Right. But Ellie did. I'm going to say it. And I'm not saying this year. Back off me. I'm not saying this year. But you get in the playoffs and you have a guy like Ellie De La Cruz, just the amount of ways that he can beat a team, he's the kind of player that's different than we've, in my lifetime, ever saw on the offensive side of the ball, how he could really impact the team in the playoffs. And I hope that he gets that chance. Hope that he gets multiple of those chances with the Reds, because he could do some really, really special things.
Well, he's already doing special things, man. So we'll see where it ends up going. All right, let's get into the bullpen. Now, we had discussed this yesterday, and I think that it could have gone out It could have gone in one ear and out the other because you're just tired of losing and you're getting frustrated and you don't really care about tomorrow's game because you just watched them lose today. But there are things that can accumulate to give yourself an opportunity to win down the road if you do things well. And we had talked about the fact that the starters of the Reds in that Diamondback series had given this bullpen a chance to rest, and rest significantly at that. So shout out to Hunter Green and shout out to Andrew Abbott for allowing this bullpen. Again, am I saying that you should give them all the credit for what happened tonight? No. But I do think that there's a considerable amount that you must consider when looking at what the Reds were capable of doing tonight. They went with an opener, as we all know, and then from there it was basically Pagan. I think after that, help me out. Maybe I'm missing someone, but I believe it was Martinez. Wilson. That's the Justin Wilson got one out, went to Martinez. He was damn near perfect if he wasn't. And then from there, they obviously handed the ball off to the folks to finish out the game that maybe didn't have as good of a performance as the other guys. But at that point, it was already 7-0, and the game was out of hand. So, hey, this is the part where if this Reds offense can just be semi-competent, we got a chance. We really do have a chance. I'm not trying to say that we're all the way back or anything like that, Nick, but this offense, if they're just semi-competent, with this bullpen and this starting pitching, they'll claw themselves back and they'll put themselves in a position to be where we ultimately want them to be right at the end of the year. I really do believe that. It's just a matter of not whether or not they can stay consistent in doing so. So any other thoughts, I guess, that you've seen tonight with the bullpen and just the overall performance of those guys?
Yeah, so you start off with the job that Abbott and Green did, as you just mentioned. If they hadn't done that the last few days, the Reds may have still gone with this opener type role with Brent Suter, but Brent Suter probably isn't pulled after only getting two outs. They're probably like, well, I have to get more than that out of Brent Suter. And you were able to go right to Emilio Pagan, and the spot in the Dodgers lineup where you have back-to-back right-handed batters with significant splits. And it was you setting up Emilio Pagan for success. And then you kind of go down the line. So the job that Abbott and Green did helped you with that. And then, yeah, I mean, I love that David Bell went creative in this game. It's really easy to go overboard and give David Bell too much praise for this, just like I think that, to be fair, we shouldn't give him too much crap when the Reds just lose. It's always somewhere in the middle, but I like the strategy. You know, why not mix it up when you're playing with house money? You're plus 210 tonight on the money line or whatever it was. You mix it up. You make it a little more challenging for the Dodgers. You make them have to think about, hey, how do we want to draw up our lineup when we know we're going to have right, left, all that kind of stuff. And I think it worked out well. And obviously, Nick Martinez, you have to use him in this role going forward until you prove otherwise. Like, use an opener with him. He's clearly so much better in this role. He's at least so much more comfortable. And my last point is Lucas Simms. I thought he looked fantastic tonight after a really rocky couple outings. You know, he was lights out in the eighth inning, and it was still a 4-0 game at that point when he did that. So that was a really big inning from Lucas Simms. The Game Time app is now an authorized ticket marketplace for Major League Baseball. That makes getting tickets even faster and easier. Prices on the Game Time app actually go down the closer it gets to first pitch. With killer last-minute deals, all-in pricing, views from your seat, and the lowest price guarantee, Game Time takes the guesswork out of buying MLB tickets. With all-in pricing, you can toggle this feature, and it shows you the total up front with no surprise fees at checkout. The lowest price guarantee, or Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with the Game Time app. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use the code CINCY for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem the code CINCY, C-I-N-C-Y, for $20 off. Download the Game Time app today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed. And we also want to remind you that you can call or text 988 at any time, day or night. The 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline is a place to get support for anything related to mental health. Whether it's an immediate crisis, simply wanting to find out how to connect with care, or anything in between, it's a 100% confidential, secure, and anonymous way to reach out for help when you don't know where else to turn. To connect, call or text 988 or visit mantherapy.org to get help. It's okay not to be okay.
Will Benson. Yeah, he started the game off hot, great, good at bats. Listen, I'm not going to get overly excited about Will Benson. I'm gonna pump the brakes a little bit on him. I'm not trying to be a pessimist. I'm just going to be honest. You want to talk about Will?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we need to go overboard, but
sure,
three straight days with a hit for him, two home runs in the last three games, so certainly looking a little bit more comfortable. That was a big home run, though. You know, right off the bat, he had a good at bat. I think it was the sixth pitch. Is what he hit out of the park. So, look, if he's going to be the leadoff spot, you desperately need that. You're going into a series in L.A. where you're massive underdogs, and you step up, you hit a leadoff home run. I mean, that's big, especially for this team with kind of how much they've struggled. I mean, they scored one run yesterday. They had three hits the whole game, and Will Benson comes up off a elite pitcher and smokes one out of the ballpark. So, just a big home run for him. I think that hopefully Will can settle in. Hopefully this can get him comfortable and we can, you know, see that Will Benson, because I really do think him facing as many left-handed pitchers as he did early in the year, I think it hurt him. I think it hurt his confidence, but I think with Will, it's all about confidence. So two home runs in three games, I think that's pretty good for his confidence. You kind of saw after he hit that home run, he shouted something to the dugout, and that's when Will's at his best, when he's really dialed in, when he's locked in, when he's talking some smack, he's having fun. And if Will Benson gets hot, it changes this lineup quite a bit.
Yeah, it does. I mean, there's a couple X factors on this team. He's one of them. I'd say the other one's going to be CES when he comes back. If CES is able to produce at a level in which I think that we are all hoping him to produce at, then that changes this team. It changes the dynamic of this team. And Will Benson was a big part of their. I do give Matt McClain a significant amount of the credit for what they were able to accomplish last year. But I'll also admit that I think a lot of the reason as to why they played above their heads, or they played great baseball last year, was because Will Benson was one of, if not the best outfielder. Now the best is pretty. I like to say one of. He's probably one of the best outfielders in all of Major League Baseball last year in the second half of the season. And that's a big part of why the reason the Reds had some success. Speaking of success, I think we're at a point now where we're both on the same take for once. Not for once, but, you know, I think we are. Santiago Espinal tonight played exceptional defense at second base. He also played really, really well at shortstop, and we can all agree that he played third base pretty competent as well. He's a good defender. I don't think anybody would disagree with that. It's just a matter of whether or not you're going to get production at the plate. And let's face it, he was not producing at the plate at all. But the reason that I'm so kind of confident in this take is that we're not getting production really from the other person that would be playing this position as well at the plate. So if we're going to have struggles, or we're not going to be consistent offensively anyways, give me the thing that I think doesn't slump. Give me the thing that I think will be very, very reliable on a day in, day out basis, and that is his defense. So I think he's the everyday second baseman until Matt McClain gets back and they have Noelvé Marte, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I really do. I'm not, again, this isn't a slander Jonathan India show, but let's face the facts. Jonathan India and Espinal, India is like I said earlier, and maybe people don't like me. This is the part of the show where people are going to be upset at me. You know, there are sometimes there's pretty girls that hang out with girls that aren't as pretty. It feels like that's what Espinal is at second base for me personally. I've watched something that I don't think is very pretty for a significant amount of time. And the fact that Espinal now looks like he's, give me the world's best second baseman, Joe Morgan. Just a thought.
Yeah, and it's also not like if you move Jonathan Indy to the DH, you're losing a ton. Like, you could play Mike Ford at first base. You could play Spencer Strand in the outfield. You're not playing Connor Capel. I mean, so there's also other moving pieces here as well. I said it when they traded for Espinal. I said they should play him every day at second base. They should just go with the better defense. Look, you're already down. Don't make it worse by compounding it and having bad defense. So, yeah, they need to play Santiago Espinal just about every day at second base. And I'll say this. I think the Reds made a massive mistake. They started off spring. I think they did the right thing. They had Jonathan Indy playing first base. They had him playing in the outfield. And then as soon as Matt McClain got injured and Noelvé Marte got suspended, they said, whatever, we'll just put Jonathan Nia at second base every day. And now they've kind of backed themselves into a corner where if India had been playing some first base and had been playing some left field, you could just say, all right, yeah, it's clear. We need to just play Espinal on second base. We can move India around. But now they've kind of made themselves to where they either have to pretty much DH Jonathan India or play him at second base. Now, I mean, I guess they could, you know, have him start taking some grounders at first base and, you know, maybe work him in, but they're going to need, you just can't say, all right, Jonathan, go play first base when I don't think he's prepared. I think he's been literally preparing as a second baseman pretty much since the moment they knew Matt McClain was out for the year. So I think the Reds made a big mistake on that. And I think they went too quickly to just say, all right, we're coward. We're going to let Jonathan India be our second baseman. And this isn't against Jonathan India. Jonathan India can still have value to this team, but he can have value to this team as a DH, a first baseman, a left fielder, right, not at second base, where you clearly have a guy that is a above average defender, and you know you're not going to have a bona fide star lineup up and down. So get to have some good defense. Make some plays. Steal some runs. Santiago Espinal can steal some runs, and those count just as much as driving in a run or getting on base and scoring a run. So, yeah, they need to play Espinal.
Well, I'll also say one last thing about Espinal. You know, I crushed this guy, obviously, through 3 or 4 weeks ago, and he looked lost, and, you know, I just didn't. He has looked, and again, I'm knocking on wood here a little bit here, he has looked significantly better at the plate. This guy is hitting balls hard. He looks like he has an approach now, and I'm starting to feel, and you said it all along, Nick. You said, hey, water's going to find its level, and I know people are tired of hearing us. Drink if you hear us say the back of the baseball card, blah, 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 blah. But that's the truth, and he's coming around. Espinal's coming around, and I'd like to see him play basically every day at second base here moving forward. You have to. I mean, you just genuinely have to. I don't see why you wouldn't. Last thing I was going to say, Mike Ford needs to get out of the three hole. I know we're not big lineup people. I'm a little bit more of a lineup person than you are, perhaps. But like, it's just like, with all due respect, it just, the three hole feels like malpractice a bit. And maybe that's just me being like, I don't know. It just seems hard to me to fathom that you're going to stick a guy in the three hole when, again, he was going to be fishing 2 weeks ago and you just kept failing to bring him up. So how much confidence did you really have in him in the first place? I don't know. And I would also say it would take maybe a little bit of pressure off of him as well. Like, I know he feels the heat when he's got Ellie De La Cruz stealing second and stealing third to have to drive that run in. Maybe put a guy that's a little more comfortable, seeing the ball a little bit better. Candelario, you know, I don't know. I mean, Spencer Steer's kind of been struggling as well. But you get hopefully you kind of get my point. I've had enough with Ford at third base, or with Ford in the three hole, excuse me.
Yeah, I would have either Candelario or Fraley there. I think that just the thinking, and obviously tonight it feels kind of silly because he swung at that pitch tonight specifically, but Ford over his career has a pretty high walk rate. So I think there's something about the if they feel like Ford will take pitches and help Ellie hopefully steal some base. I think that's part of it. Where Candelario doesn't have a super high walk rate. Jake Fraley definitely doesn't have a super high walk rate. So I think there's more to it than just Ford hitting third. I think it's also hitting behind Ellie De La Cruz. So that's my only like kind of caveat to that. I don't know. Maybe just put Steer third, and I feel like Steer would be fine.
Mike brings up a good point in the chat. Listen, I like bringing up people in the chat that bring up good points. That's why this show's. I'm not going to say it's elite, but some would say. Mike in the chat says, I like having a large lefty in the box with Ellie stealing. That's not a terrible take.
I will say that
big old lefty needs to stop swinging at balls that are getting ready to hit him in the belt. He did steal like four bags tonight. Some of that might have been because of the big old lefty in there, but. To be fair, also, Mike, I think that Ellie just steals bags because he's elite, period. Just saying. Just a thought.
All right, let's get you caught up on all the Reds minor league action from Thursday. There was a lot of it, so let's jump right into it. We'll start off down at AAA. Louisville Bats, they split a doubleheader. They're now 23-19 on the season. They lost game one 9-3 to Columbus, but bounced back in game two with a 6-2 win. Two games combined, Blake Dunn was 1-for-7. Nick Martini, 2-for-6 with a double and a walk. Levon Soto, 2-for-6 with two walks. Really rough day for Peyton Burdick, 0-for-6. Did walk once, but struck out 5 times. Rhys Hines only played in, I believe, the first game. He was 0-for-3 with a walk. A couple standout pitching performances. Alex Young continuing his rehab assignment. He did allow one unearned run. Also walked a batter and gave up a hit. But nonetheless, didn't give up an earned run in this one. And then Christian Roa, used once again in relief. Seems like maybe the Reds are considering Roa as a reliever, at least permanently. He went two innings, gave up three hits, two runs, one walk, and struck out two. All right, down to Double A, Chattanooga. They were blanked 6-0 by Birmingham. Tough season for the Lookouts continues. They've lost 6 of 7. They fall to 11-25 on the season. The one real bright spot was Zach Maxwell. He struggled for a second time in a row. Maxwell walked two batters, and he allowed an earned run. He's done that now in back-to-back games. Remember, he had gone 11 games to start the season without allowing an earned run and had only walked five batters. Bubba Thompson, though, he was 2-for-4 with a stolen base, his first stolen base down at Double-A, but he was pretty much the only solid performance on offense. Tyler Callahan, who's been really hot of late, he was 0-for-4. Austin Hendrick was 0-for-3. Down to High A, the Dayton Dragons, they won a thriller over Great Lakes, 11-10. The Dragons, they've now won 3 of 4. They improved to 16-20 on the season. Incredible day for Sal Stewart. He was on base 4 times, 1-for-1, 3 walks. Also stole a bag, his 3rd of the season. Stewart, he's an on-base machine. He raises on-base percentage up to .414. Cam Collier was 1-for-5, did drive in a run. Jay Allen, 2-for-5, hit his 7th home run, doubled and drove in a run, of course. Allen is hitting .322, OPS of 1,064. Really just a remarkable season for Allen, who last year battled injuries all year. Jay Allen, get this, he only had 8 career home runs in 141 games entering the season. Of course, he already has 7 now in just 24 games in 2024. Good day also for Carlos Jorge. He was 2-for-4, hit his 4th home run of the year, drove in 3 runs. Hector Rodriguez, 1-for-5. Great day for Victor Acosta. He was 2-for-5 with an RBI and stole his 6th base. And Ethan O'Donnell, 1-for-4 with a triple. And Logan Tanner hit his 2nd home run of the year. He was on base 3 times. All right, down to Low A, the Daytona Tortugas. They also split a doubleheader. They won Game 1 8-5 over Clearwater. They lost Game 2 1-0 despite only giving up 1 hit in the game. They had a couple of errors, but nonetheless, always tough to lose a game when you only give up 1 hit. But the Tortugas, they're now 19-17 on the season. Looking through the box score, Alfredo Duno, another good day. He was on base 3 times, 1-for-4 with 2 walks. Ricardo Cabrera, he was 0-for-6, did walk and steal a bag. Esmith Pineda, he was 1-for-6, double and a walk. But one player that really had a good day was Yerlin Confidon. He was 3-for-4, hit a home run, drove in 5 runs, and stole a base. And then Dominic Patelli, he also had a good day, 2-for-4. He hit a home run, his 3rd of the year, also doubled and drove in a run. And last but not least, out the Arizona Complex League, the ACL Reds, just like the big league club, they beat the Dodgers. They won 4-3. Sammy Stafura, he was on base 3 times, 1-for-3 with a pair of walks. And then Cheng-In Lin, he was 0-for-3, but he did walk twice. All right, Reds and Dodgers back at it on Friday night. Another 10:10 p.m. start. This will be the last 10 p.m. start of the season. Reds will be at 9:10 p.m. on Saturday. But then after that, they don't start later than 8:40 the rest of the year. So those of you who have a hard time staying up late, this is the end of the road for this season. For the Dodgers, it'll be the guy named Big Maple, the lefty James Paxton. He is 5-0 with a 2.58 ERA. Paxton is now in his 11th MLB season. Paxton went to the University of Kentucky, where he pitched back from 2006 to 2009. Paxton, born in Canada, he actually joined Joey Votto. You might remember him. Votto and Paxton were named the Canadian hitter and pitcher of the decade by the Canadian Baseball Network. Of course, that the 2010 decade. Paxton is a guy that's had a ton of injuries over his career, but in his first start in 2021 with the Mariners, he left with what was later called a left forearm strain and needed Tommy John surgery. Subsequently, Paxton only made 1 start in 2021 and 2022. Last year, he signed with the Red Sox. Went 7-5 with a 4.50 ERA in 19 starts. Then he signed a one-year, $7 million contract with the Dodgers this offseason. The deal was actually originally for $11 million, but it actually got reworked because of some unspecified health issues. So interesting offseason for Paxton as he got to the Dodgers. One really interesting article from Sports Info Solutions, they wrote about how the Dodgers' defensive positioning has really been a big reason why Paxton has had so much success this season with the Dodgers. But if you look at a stat like fielding independent pitching, it's nowhere close to his 2.58 ERA. They actually gave him a 4.88 FIP. So hopefully, hey, maybe he's due for a little bit of regression. Paxton's only made one career start against the Reds. Came at Fenway Park last season, and he pitched well. 5 innings, 4 hits, 1 run, just walked one batter and struck out 8. Active Reds against Paxton, they're just 3-16, only 1 extra base hit. Santiago Espinal is 1-2. Luke Maley, 2-6 with a double. And then Fairchild, India Steer, and Stevenson, they're all each 0-2. All right, for the Reds, it'll be Frankie Montas, 2-3, 4.20 ERA. Last start out in San Francisco, Montas looked really good early, but then kind of hit a wall and struggled to end his start. He went 4 2/3 innings, gave up 7 hits, 4 earned runs, 1 walk, and struck out 3. And it's not been pretty for Montas in his career against the Dodgers. 0-2 with a 16.20 ERA. Last start, however, came back in 2021. Montas has never pitched at Dodger Stadium in front of fans. Only time he ever pitched at Dodger Stadium was in 2020. The active Dodgers against Montas, oh, I hate to even read this stat, 23-55 against him. It's a 418 average, a 1300 OPS. Active Dodgers have hit 7 home runs against Montas. Mookie Betts is 4-8. Teoscar Hernandez is 2-6. Max Muncy's 3-4 with the home run. Will Smith 1-4 with the home run. Chris Taylor 2-3 with the home run. But none of that, and I mean none of that, compares to Shohei Ohtani. Shohei Ohtani is 10-24 with 4 home runs, 11 RBIs, and he still walked 6 times against Montas. So Montas has certainly got his work cut out for him on Friday night. All right, well, thanks so much as always for listening today to Chatterbox Reds. Really appreciate all of your support this season. It truly has been incredible, the amount of support that we've gotten, especially with the Reds struggling here early in the year. But hopefully this is the sign of a positive turnaround for our Redlegs, who, hey, as bad as the vibes have been, they're only 2 games out of a playoff spot, so it could certainly be a lot worse. If you've not yet subscribed to Chatterbox Reds, wherever you listen to this podcast, make sure you do that now. We are the only Cincinnati Reds podcast with new episodes the morning after every single game. That even includes late games out on the West Coast and on the weekend. So be sure to subscribe. Leave us a 5-star review if you're able to. Really would appreciate that. I know there's been a lot of you that have done that, and we cannot thank you enough. But most importantly, if you know a Reds fan, make sure you tell them about Chatterbox Reds. Make sure they know about the podcast that we do. We would really appreciate if you would help us spread the word. Looking for something to watch or listen to on Friday morning and afternoon, Off the Bench, 10 a.m. to noon on Chatterbox Sports on YouTube. You guys will certainly be talking about this big Reds win, Bengals news, all your Cincinnati sports headlines, and more. And then we also have the Kenner and Kev Show. That is weekdays 3 to 5 p.m. That show is a simulcast from the radio show on 1410 Wing AM ESPN Radio in Dayton. So we're pleased to have those guys on our YouTube channel. And we also have a lot of other content on our Chatterbox Sports channel as we continue to try to grow, continue to try to bring you the best Cincinnati sports content. So be sure to check that out. Subscribe to Chatterbox Sports on YouTube. Hit the bell in the top right corner to turn on notifications. That way you're notified anytime we go live with Chatterbox Reds or any of our other shows. Well, hope that you have a fantastic Friday. Hope you have an even better weekend. Most importantly, go Reds.